Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Dr. Cal Beissner, who returns to this program. He is a spokesman, or the spokesman, for CornwallAlliance.org. And one of the main things we want to focus on now is not only what we say, but how we say it as servants of the Lord. By the way, Dr. Cal Beissner used to teach at Knox Theological Seminary and also at Covenant College. And he's a best-selling author. Cal, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Jerry. I do have to say, though, I never was a best-selling author. My books have never sold all that well.
Oh.
Typically when you write...
Well, they ought to have sold well.
Technical stuff, it doesn't sell real well.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, it's funny, just on a personal note, I once co-wrote a book with Dr. Peter Lilbach, the president of Westminster Theological Seminary, and the book...
Yes.
About the faith of George Washington. It was very, very thick. And at one point, when it first came out, 2006, and really for the first couple of years, it was just laughed at. There was even a time where some former employees made a throne of copies of the book, to kind of mocking it or whatever. A throne that people could sit on. Anyway, bottom line is, then years later, Glenn Beck happens to discover and said, oh, every American's got to get this book. And then, boom, it shot up to number one on Amazon for a few days. So you never know.
Yes,
you never know.
And it's a very, very good book, too.
Well, thank you. And so is your book on social justice and some of the other books as well. All right, but let's get right to it. How you say something is also important, not just what you say, and yet we still need to always retain the prophetic voice as well. So let's have you unpack this.
Well, in my own work with the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation, a network of Christian theologians and natural scientists and economists working to promote biblical earth stewardship, economic development for the poor, and the gospel of Christ, all intertwined together. In this work, we address a lot of very controversial issues, particularly because the environmental movement has become so powerful all around the world and is actually intentionally trying to infiltrate churches and change their messages to green the gospel, as some of them put it. And one of the issues where that happens is the whole claim of dangerous man-made global warming. The idea that human emission of carbon dioxide as we burn fossil fuels to provide energy for all of our various needs, that these emissions are causing the global atmosphere to warm up and that this is somehow going to be very dangerous to us. That's, as many of your listeners I'm sure already know, that's a very controversial issue, and we're being asked to spend literally trillions of dollars trying to reduce that use of fossil fuels and that emission of carbon dioxide and consequently that warming. So we look at this very carefully. We have a large number of scientists in our network, including climate scientists and atmospheric physicists and chemists and the sorts of people who really do understand this issue. And our study persuades us very confidently that whereas, yes, our emissions of CO2 probably do warm the atmosphere a little bit, they don't warm it very much. It's not overall dangerous. And the idea that we should spend trillions of dollars that could better be used helping the poor around the world by providing safe drinking water and sewage sanitation and disease control and so on, to fight this is just really quite imprudent, to put it simply and mildly. Well, there are plenty of people who hold the exact opposite view on that. And sometimes in this discourse, things get a little bit scrappy, you might say. Last week, I had an instance of that that I think you've read about, Jerry, right?
Yeah, tell us about that.
Yeah.
It was involving like social media commentary back and forth.
Yes, right. Or at least one would have wished that it would be back and forth.
Well, there was at least one back, and then it was then back to the fourth, and it was gone or something like that. Tell us.
Right. You know, here's what happened. There's a very popular evangelical advocate of global warming alarmism by the name of Dr. Catherine Hayhoe, and she's a climate scientist at the University of Texas, and she has a public figure page on Facebook. And on that, she posted an article in which she claimed and she referenced a journal article that she was co-author of in supporting this claim. She claimed that the overwhelming majority of all the refereed publications on climate change agree with the notion that climate change is real, that it's happening, that it's mostly man-made, and that it is very dangerous, and we need to stop it.
All right, this is the consensus argument.
Right, this is the consensus argument. And, of course, remember, consensus is a political value, not a scientific value. You want to know who won an election? You count votes. You want to know how much added CO2 warms the atmosphere? You look at the data. They're two very, very different endeavors. But at any rate, she posted this, and she said that in their study, she and her co-authors of this journal article had found that on every single article that disagreed with that consensus, they were able to find, in each instance, one major error, and if you corrected for that major error, all the results in those studies got changed to where they agreed with the so-called consensus. Now, I read this and I thought, that doesn't sound very plausible to me. So I did a little research and I found very quickly that another major climate scientist, far more veteran than she, Dr. Judith Curry, who is professor and former chair of the School of Earth and Atmospheric Sciences at Georgia Tech, had actually written significantly about that very study and had pointed out that it had been rejected by five other journals before it was finally accepted by a fairly obscure one, that it really didn't demonstrate errors in the articles with which it disagreed. It basically complained that they didn't agree with the consensus and that they hadn't cited the sources that Hayhoe and her co-authors preferred. And Curry basically dismissed it as not even worthwhile science at all. In fact, she went so far as to call it twaddle. So I posted a link to Curry's piece on Hayhoe's Facebook page and just basically said, hey, you know, there's another perspective here. Maybe things aren't quite as clear as you think. And unfortunately, within minutes, the link disappeared, and I had been blocked from even being able to post. Now, I don't mind if people disagree, but I think when we disagree with each other, we need to be willing to hear each other out. We need to reason back and forth. You know, this rational, civil discourse is absolutely crucial to learning truth and to the progress of science itself.
You know, it's funny, a lot of times as Christians we want to shy away from controversy, and certainly there is a difference between generating light versus generating heat. I know doing radio shows and so forth, it can be interesting if you have something where it's real controversial and blah, 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 but is it really helping anybody? And I always pray that we'll generate light and not heat. On the other hand, there's always a place for the prophetic voice as Christians. So on the one hand, what we should say, we should speak the truth in love, and in some cases we'll be rejected, but we should still speak that truth. And on the other hand, we should not seek to, you know, divide the brethren and, you know, endless quarreling. I mean, Paul talks about that even with Timothy, about, you know, don't be quarrelsome. The servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome.
Right, and this is why we just make a point at the Cornwall Alliance of avoiding personal attacks. You know, we're not tearing down people's motivations or anything like that. We try to stay as factual as we can with all that we publish. And then we also, we have a commitment. And in fact, I wrote about this in the article in The Stream magazine that you just...
Yeah, I just recently interviewed Jay Richards, in fact, about the whole... publication. Go on.
Right. Yeah, fascinating new publication. They published an article of mine called In the Global Warming Debate, Crying Consensus is Untrue, Unchristian, and Unscientific. And it basically tells the story with a little more detail than what I just did. And then I conclude in there by saying that, you know, we have a commitment at the Cornwall Alliance that we want our fellow Christians at Christian universities and colleges all over the world to read our papers, take the time to read those papers carefully, and then point out what they consider are factual or logical errors and provide the evidence and reasoning that they believe justify their judgment. And we promise to respond courteously, and we only ask that they do likewise. So this, I think, is what we really need to do. There's a great need for open minds, open ears among Christians on this and many, many other subjects. You know, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test all things, hold fast what is good. Now, that's not just a Christian value, it's a scientific value as well. In fact, it is the key to science, is testing all hypotheses by careful observation of the real world around us. So that's what we should be doing. And as we do that, I think we increasingly come toward truth and away from error.
All right, let me give an example, though, where, okay, it used to be sometimes that people who think that 9/11 was an inside job or whatever, and they'd send all these emails, and they'd say, this provides absolute proof that, you know, those airplanes didn't hit the buildings, and, you know, or that even if they did hit the buildings, what really brought the buildings down was some sort of internal bombs that the Bush administration was letting off so that they could go, you know, justify war or whatever. You know, 9/11 was an inside job. So I used to get these emails from different people, especially one particular guy. And I got to the point where, I'm sorry, I just blocked this sender because to me, they had absolutely no credibility. I've interviewed people who've seen, who saw those airplanes hit the buildings,
yes,
and so forth.
Right.
And you know, we've seen video of the planes hit the building. So come on, this is just absurd. So, I mean, is it possible that maybe some of these people who are such strong believers in, you know, man-made global warming, it's so proven, you know, it's been proven over and over and over. So don't, you know, hit me with this conspiratorial nonsense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's a perfectly understandable possibility, hypothesis.
That 9/11 was an inside job? Or, no.
No, not that one.
Right.
However, Scripture does speak to that sort of thing. In Proverbs 16:4-5, I believe, it says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. And then the very next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes, which is kind of an interesting paradox there. You want to make sure that you don't waste your time and make yourself appear foolish by arguing with foolish arguments. But also, you don't want to let fools seem to just
win
have the day.
Yeah.
So you need to answer them, and it's a real balancing act to figure out the wise way to do it. However, on issues like this one, on climate change, man-made climate change, allegedly dangerous man-made climate change, the fact is that there are profoundly well-qualified climate scientists and other scientists who hold all sorts of different positions on this. And basically, the catastrophic, dangerous warming position is not well represented in the scientific literature. It's well trumpeted in the mainstream media, and it's pushed by the likes of Al Gore, for instance, but of course Gore is not a scientist at all. And so those people who are in the scientific community really have a responsibility to make sure that they are respecting the reality of well-qualified, well-reasoned debate on this issue, and that they don't just simply sweep things under the rug. There's too much good empirical evidence for the error of the catastrophist sort of view on this. Very, very clearly, for instance,
about 15 seconds left. Go ahead.
Well, the climate models badly exaggerate warming. The data don't agree, so the models are wrong. We discussed this in our new video called Where the Grass is Greener, which is available at wherethegrassisgreenerthemovie.com.
CornwallAlliance.org for more information. Thank you, Cal Beissner, for being with us. God bless you now.
Jerry, thank you, and God bless you.
Bye-bye.